With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Richie. Going beyond Walker. Pugh. Pugh! That'll do it! That will do it! Pugh for Bournemouth! But the Gold Sands is raised. Everyone here knows what that could mean to this football club.
Hello and welcome to episode 127 of Back of the Net, the AFC Bournemouth podcast. During the summer, we will be putting out podcasts every so often, so they won't necessarily be your usual Monday morning download. However, keep an eye on your podcast app as we will be dropping some content whenever there's some AFC Bournemouth news. Now, earlier this week, Chris Temple from BBC Radio Solent released a chat with Cherry's chairman Jeff Mostyn, the first time that he's chatted at length for about 4 years. And it was an interesting chat. He sounded almost re-energised, he sounded motivated, and he didn't sound fearful about the club's future. After listening to the chat, some fans on Twitter and the forums, they're still asking questions. Some are content. But I guess that's the nature of being a football supporter, isn't it? And in this podcast, I'm joined by Tom Jordan, Jeff Hayward and Chris Temple himself to chat over what we learned from the chairman's chat. Now, if you want to listen to the whole BBC Sounds interview, just go to afcbpodcast.com/Mostyn. That's with a Y, of course. And that will then redirect you to the BBC Sounds website or app where you can take a listen. It's a 36-minute piece and to me, it reinforced that Jeff's a guy that is invested into the club, both financially but also emotionally, as his voice broke actually whilst telling the story about his personal devastation at recent events at the club in terms of relegation and not bouncing straight back. I've never met Jeff myself, but he was well spoken as ever, of course. He sounded focused. And he also provided an apology of sorts as well in terms of the board's communication with fans. There's also an explanation on managerial appointments. And also, we then go on in this podcast to talk about Scott Parker. Is he in? Is he out? It looks like he's out at the moment. But we've got to analyse the chance of him coming to Bournemouth. And, well, why would he? So, let's get stuck in. So, Jeff Hayward and Tom Jordan are here. Jeff, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, sorry to be confusing. We're talking about two Jeffs today, so hopefully we'll make that clear for people.
And also Tom Jordan's here. Tom, you're right.
All good, thank you. Nice to hear from another Jeff, whether it's Jeff Lerma, Jeff Mostyn, Jeff Hayward. I'm always happy to hear him, Jeff. And, you know, before we bring in our next guest, Jeff Hayward, nice to hear from the board rather than a letter. That's what we had about a year ago, didn't we?
Well, that was one of the most important things. This time last year, there was a letter from Max, which actually was full of enthusiasm and positivity about getting back in the Premier League. And I think actually set quite a positive tone. But hearing voices, hearing real people, you want to hear what they've got to say. You want to hear the tone of their voice and how they respond to difficult questions, which is what Chris Temple is renowned for, obviously. And that's what you want to hear. You know, you can't get the same feelings out of a letter. So that was good to hear.
It'd be interesting to hear what Chris has to say. And he's here with us today. Chris from BBC Radio Silent, how are you?
Hello, lads. It is a pleasure to be with you. Very well, thank you.
And Chris, you've had a couple of trips to the northeast recently. Are you looking forward to the Euros?
I am looking forward to the Euros. Yeah, it's going to be a different role for me this one. Although I am the stadium announcer at Wembley for all the games, including the final. I have to be neutral. So even though England are playing in those games, and I am the England announcer, I have to be 50-50. So that is going to be a new challenge. But hopefully, by drawing attention to that fact now, I won't get picked apart on it.
You've had some great tips from Willow on that this season, haven't you, though?
Cool. Goodness me, I tell you what, if I had a fence as well supported as Willow's one that he's sat on all season, I'd be well off.
Oh, absolutely love it. Well, we'll turn our attention towards the interview that you conducted with Jeff Mostyn. It's about 35 minutes long, as I said. And Chris, how did it come about?
It came about because obviously, you know, a lot of us, including the lads from the Bournemouth Echo and other people, have been asking for a while. I mean, 4 years, we're asking, not every week, of course, but periodically when major things happen, we'll always ask a question. We've got to know what the answer will be. But as they always say in any situation, really, keep knocking at the door. Eventually, it will open. And I think, you know, this time when we asked and said, is there a chance of doing something around the new manager the summer? You know, it's been obviously a big transitional period as well. You know, this time I think the club realised that actually probably it was time that somebody needed to say something. Quite a lot has gone on, particularly in the last year. So I think they realised that it was probably the time to put someone forward.
Jeff, and what did you make of what was said? And it was, I mean, I don't think much new was learned, was it?
Well, I would agree with that. It felt like Jeff was communicating the party line, and I completely understand why you would do that. It also felt a little bit weird, Chris, about the timing, because no players have been sold, none bought in, the manager's yet to be appointed, and yet he's giving this sort of state of the nation interview with you before the really big decisions that need to happen in the next week or so start sort of filtering through. Did you think it was slightly curious that he sort of wanted to look back rather than look too much forward?
I think it was more a situation of sort of reflecting on the last year, because obviously the board ongoing discussions about the new manager situation was ongoing at the time of recording this interview. We recorded it at the back end of last week. So the discussions have been going on for a few days. So I think it was based around the fact that the board had this meeting, the strategy. And again, I saw people sort of responding saying, you know, it's now the time to be having a strategy meeting. Haven't they been thinking about this strategy for months and weeks? Of course they have. But this was just a focal point. Travel's been difficult, quarantining issues, of course. They can't meet face-to-face, all those kind of things. So from that situation, I think it was more bringing everything together. And I think just off the back of that, yes, you're right, it would have probably made a little bit more sense to do it once the new manager was in post. But let's not forget as well that players aren't around. The new manager's not going to have a chance to work with his squad for some time yet. The new manager himself, whoever it may be, you know, may not even be at the club for the next month or so because no one's there. So, yeah, from that point of view, I think probably trying to get a few things addressed before the new manager situation came up and almost draw a line so that when the new manager is appointed, that is the start of the next chapter, if you like.
Yeah, you were saying, Chris, about how, you know, obviously you knock on the door all the time and then obviously they eventually have decided that this is the time to maybe have a chat with yourself and get out to the supporters. Do you think that this supporters experience group is another way of trying to bridge that gap? I know he mentioned about that. Is that another way of just trying to get the communication a little bit better to the fans, potentially?
Yeah, I think it is if it happens. I've heard of things like this before where it hasn't quite, gone the way that fans would want it to go. So as long as they're good to their word on that and they are accessible. And again, it's not going to be, Jeff and Neil Blake giving out the phone number and inviting people around for tea for a chat. But it's got to be done in the right way because, ultimately when supporters are back in the stadium, as we all know, a club's support base is the lifeblood of that club. So, yeah, I'm hoping that that will be, open up channels. And Jeff mentioned it in the interview that, he could do better in terms of certain things. The board could do better. And I think, they did acknowledge, looking back, there was a lot of chat about hindsight, about some of the decisions that they made. It would be easy to have a second chance. But hopefully now, that little bit more accountability. I think that's what fans want. When you pay your money, you just want somebody to front up and face the music sometimes if it's not going well. And, I know Jeff's been criticised in the past for only appearing when things were going well and disappearing when they weren't going so well. Hopefully a change of record on that point of view as well.
I found it quite interesting with the way you asked some questions and the way he responded. Sort of, it seemed PR-led. For instance, you were talking about the fans' fears about how much will Max be involved? Will he be involved ongoing in the championship now that we're a championship club? And then Jeff then referred back to the fact that, well, he joined when we were in League One. So he didn't actually really answer what's going to happen in the future, really. But he seemed to be very buoyant. He sounded very positive, I've got to say. But is it a case that, Jeff Mostyn, he can't really speak for Max, so he's not going to make any bold statements to say that, yes, he's going to be involved for X amount of years or whatever. He can't really do that, can he?
No, you have to add a little bit of a pinch of salt to some of it, because ultimately Jeff's role has changed as well. Often at football clubs, a chairman is the figurehead. They make all the decisions. Often the chairman is the owner as well at football clubs. Not the case at Bournemouth. And therefore, the power that Jeff has, he's a member of the board, but a lot of the decisions are probably taken by other people with his input, of course. So, yes, there is an element of, and again, backing Neil Blake and Richard Hughes, you'd expect him to, because they're his board members and they don't want to upset him. And as you say, there's a bit of a club PR line on that. So we didn't really learn sort of too much on that point of view. But I think the question had to be asked. A lot of people have said, has the club been run in the right way? And therefore, he is the man who is under the microphone, so answers the questions. And obviously, as we know, he's a very good public speaker, Jeff, and could charm his way out of the most difficult situation. So, yeah, in terms of Max's future, Max isn't going to speak. So the next best thing we can get is somebody who's pretty close to him. And I think, as you heard Jeff say, they're still very close, even if the working relationship between Max and Jeff is maybe not quite as direct as it is between Max and Neil Blake and Richard Hughes.
Do you get a sense, Chris, that they know what they're doing in terms of the managerial appointments? I mean, we had that whole sequence when Jason left and we had Thierry Henry. There were so many people being talked about. David Wagner, Patrick Vieira, John Terry. And then it was Jonathan Woodgate who'd been at the club already 2 days. And I'm just wondering, as we're sort of at this point now, where I think everybody on this conversation, probably everybody listening, thinks Woodgate's not going to get it now after listening to this interview. And probably Scott Parker is the one being lined up to come in if media reports are to be believed. But actually, do we have any certainty about that after the merry-go-round of names earlier in the year?
I think the Tindall exit, Woodgate entry, couple of weeks would definitely go down as something they would do differently again. I think there's no doubt about that. My understanding is that before Jonathan was appointed, they were quite close to appointing somebody else, and something late in the process changed. And therefore, I guess, as you say, that the roundabout had to start turning again. And they, because let's face it, Jonathan was doing fine. He wasn't doing brilliantly. He wasn't doing bad. He was doing fine, having come in into a difficult situation. So, they probably thought it was a case ultimately of take a massive risk on somebody completely new, or with a little bit of stability, give Jonathan a chance. And that's what they did. As in terms of where they go from here, I've got to be honest with you, I'm pretty much as in the dark as you guys are. I've seen the reports on Scott Parker, which is somebody who I have been told in the past was very much high on the list. That the complication with Scott Parker, of course, is that he's at a different club. He's unlikely to get sacked by them, so would need some compensation in terms of persuading him to walk away from there. In terms of whether it's an attractive move for Scott Parker, I think it probably is, because I think he's not too enamoured with things from what I gather behind the scenes at Fulham. Having just taken a club down, ideal time for a fresh challenge, isn't it? And let's face it, who doesn't want to come and live in Bournemouth in the summer? So it's a good time to be appointing a manager when the sun's out and the Bournemouth's looking beautiful.
Did you get from when you spoke to Jeff, Chris, did you get the feeling, without obviously, like you say, you're just as aware as we are, did you get the feeling that he knows who the manager's going to be? And they've already know, and they're just finalising things. Have they already made a decision, do you think, just as an opinion? Or
I think, again, just hearing one or two bits, I think they were down to maybe three or two names. I don't think it was absolutely finalised. So I think that's where we were at the time of recording that interview. And this was, I said, we recorded it before the weekend. So, you know, a few days on now, I'm not sure where we're at. But I think, you know, knowing what they're like, and they have been working behind the scenes for most of the second half of the season on potential candidates. It hasn't just been since, you know, the team failed to go up. So I think hoping for this week, I think, is the aim for an announcement.
And do you think the hindsight, obviously all these names were leaked somehow, and recently we've heard nothing for ages, and fans have got really disappointed and frustrated about the fact that we're not hearing anything. Do you think that's one of the lessons that they learned?
Yes, I think it is. I think that the frustration, particularly when things aren't going well. I mean, you know, do you need to hear from anybody when things are going really well? Probably not, because it just echoes what everybody else is thinking anyway. So I think, you know, when things aren't going well, particularly when there's been some decisions that haven't been, you know, outwardly that obvious, and there seems to be, and there's sort of various reports, and by the time you've got all these rumours and reports and everything merged together, it does end up sounding like a bit of a mess. So sometimes you do need to have somebody who knows what's been going on to come out and, you know, put a few fires out. And I think that's probably what Jeff was doing with this, just sort of damping down a few flames on certain things. Using it as I said earlier, that chance to draw a line, and hopefully with a few things tied up, and obviously still a few questions to answer, you know, things like the stadium and things are ongoing questions, but all he could do is tell us where the club are at the moment.
What's your sense about the mood of the club? Do you think they're feeling good about making that leap back to the Premier League next season?
I think it all depends on who stays, Jeff, to be honest with you. I really think it depends on what they could do with the squad, and that the knock-on of that is who they bring in as a manager. And can that manager persuade any of those big guns to stay? If a Scott Parker comes in, you know, having just come out of the Premier League with a reputation for playing good football, you know, maybe he's got some clout to persuade one or two of the, you know, I'm not saying the Danjumas. I think we can forget about Danjuma. He's going to go for sure. I would be pretty surprised if Jefferson Lerma was still a Bournemouth player by the start of next season. I know he can't play in the first six games anyway now, but one or two of the others who are a bit more middle of the road, people like David Brooks and, you know, maybe Lloyd Kelly, maybe even Dom Solanke, you know, those kind of players, could a new manager persuade some of them to give it one more season in the Championship? Again, for the likes of Brooks, a lot depends on the Euros, I think, for him. If he has a good Euros for Wales, that could be his exit sealed as well. So, yeah, I think to answer your question, Jeff, I've gone a bit round the houses, but I think the mood of the club is at the moment up in the air, because it depends, with so much changing in personnel, management and player-wise. I think people will judge their mood probably a couple of weeks before the start of the new season, maybe, rather than now, when there's so much that can still change.
So whilst we might not have learned loads, I mean, I liked certain things that he said, used the phrase "with a vengeance, we will be coming back. I want to make this a year to remember." So, you know, that's always something positive that I'm certainly clinging on to. So, it's going to be very interesting. And I'm sure the week ahead in terms of managerial appointments will be interesting too. Chris, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it. And I'm glad that you managed to get some words out of the board. It's excellent to see.
No problem. And can I just add at this time while I'm on as well that I'm a regular Monday listener to your weekend wrap-ups, and it's been thoroughly enjoyable all season. So kudos to you, Sam, and to you, Tom and Jeff as well, and Neil, who I know, and Mr. Tiggs and all the team who are regulars.
Thank you very much, Chris. That's Chris Temple from BBC Radio Stadium. Thanks, Chris.
Hi, I'm Michael Botto, making some noise for the boys on Back of the Net.
So there we go. There was the man who spoke to Jeff Mostyn himself. And as Chris said, you know, a very interesting chat with the chairman, Jeff. And look, what was your opinion on what was said? I mean, we spoke about the fact that we feel as though we may not have learnt much that's new. There's a few voices on Twitter that are saying words to the effect that, well, Mr. O said 36 minutes, I won't get back. Sigh. Maxim did it all by himself. No mention of Eddie. Any mistakes are acceptable and non-accountable because they were made in the club's best interest. We got AFCBZ who's saying that Mostyn interview just made me disconnect with the board even more. He spent the majority of the interview dodging questions and not giving straight answers. Straight-laced thoughts now that Chris has gone.
Well, I mean, I work in PR, and I know when you're giving PR answers, and there are PR answers, and there are answers that grate on you when they're PR answers. And if I have to hear one more time that that was our seventh best season ever, when everybody knows, we all know that for the squad that we had, that was an underperforming season. So don't put it in that context, because it winds us up. You know, that sort of thing, that does great. I think also just some of the you can blame hindsight and say, you know, if we all had hindsight, it'd be a wonderful thing. But just put your hands up and say, sometimes more honestly, I think we were wrong. We got it wrong and we're sorry. We've learned from those mistakes and we'll do better. That's what people want to hear, I think, more. And the whole sort of appointment of Jason, I mean, he had no experience, you know. We're there talking about getting back to the Premier League, and I don't think you need a degree in hindsight to say that was a high risk decision. And Jason, yeah, he did deserve an opportunity, maybe not at our club, maybe somewhere else.
Yeah, and look, there are certain things that he said as well, such as AD Boothroyd said to him about the fact that if England under 21s could play at Dean Court every single game, they would. I bet you AD Boothroyd says that to everyone. Of course he does, Tom, doesn't he?
Probably. But yeah, it's a nice ground, isn't it? They always keep the pitch well and stuff like that. I'm sure they do enjoy it. And it's a nice place to... I'm sure AD probably meant it's nice to come around Bournemouth, do you know what I mean, for a weekend or whatever. But yeah, listen, I think Jeff was just spot on there. Jeff Hayward, I mean. In terms of, you know, sometimes you just... You hear things and it does great on you. I think, you know, we spoke off air, didn't we, that, you know, Man City wouldn't come out after losing the Champions League final and say, yeah, but we were in League One. Not that. It's just, you know, the goalposts changed. And like I say, the squad we had, you know, we should have been trying to get promotion, which we did, but it was a disappointing season. Just say that. Don't say it's our seventh best. It's, you know, it's kind of irrelevant now. And I think that could be a bit frustrating, because Jeff Mostyn will always be a legend of this football club, what he's done for the football club. But you don't need to keep telling us that. We are aware, and I'll always love Jeff Mostyn. But yeah, there were a few things. The hindsight thing frustrating me, because it was, you can say it once or twice, but it was constant. With basically every question that was kind of a little bit negative, in the sense that, you know, we failed to get promotion, the managerial decision wasn't correct, it was always, yeah, well, you can say that in hindsight. But you can't do that. You can't go around life just, if you make a bad decision, just going, hindsight though. You know, you can't do that. Just put your hands up a little bit. Like, that was a little bit frustrating, is I totally appreciate what you're saying. In hindsight, Jason didn't work. But I reckon 90% of Bournemouth fans, which I reckon is a fair opinion, 90% knew it wouldn't work. So you're the man, and as a board, you're the ones that make them decisions. So you should know more than 90% of the fans. So, you know, I was very, you know what I'm like, I'm very sentimental, and I was kind of like, I'm backing Jason now, you know, he deserves that opportunity, but I'm not the one that should be making them decisions. So you should know, really, when you go down to it, you go, we wanted to get promoted at the first attempt, and show that there's not a massive sign of intent when you're employing someone who's never done the job. But listen, yeah, I didn't really think anything of the interview, in the sense it's always nice to hear from someone like that, like you say, better than a letter, but it was weird, because I didn't know what I was expecting, but it was what I expected. There was nothing to, do you know what I mean?
One of the things with regards to Jason's appointment, he said the quote, it was a gamble. He said, we didn't have the usual May to August close season. Yeah, of course, exceptional circumstances. Jason put himself forward. He also went on to say, Maxim felt he deserved an opportunity. So who are we as a fan base, Jeff? Who are we to question the guy that's ploughed £160 million into the club? But then you think, on the other hand, surely it should be football decisions being made by footballing people. If that's the case, if he had that much sway, I don't know.
I mean, look, Sam, we could run a whole podcast still on what happened with Eddie leaving and Jason coming on, couldn't we? I mean, it's a year ago nearly now that all happened. Did Eddie want to go? Did Eddie not want to go? We still don't know. Did the board see it coming, or did they not? You know, with that, there was time back then where we all thought Eddie's going to stay, and it almost felt that we were put on the back foot by the decision, whatever, whoever took it, that Eddie and the club parted company. So it was then, what do we do now? And I don't think there was really a plan in place, which makes you just feel Yeah, just completely unsettled still about what went on and and how much of a factor that had on the entire season. I think he's absolutely right. You know, there was no period for messing about. You had to get the players back in after 2 weeks of the season ending to back in for pre-season to start. Continuity was massive. And so Jason seemed like a logical decision. But we don't really know what went on, do we, still?
No. We don't know. You know what? And when Chris asked him the questions about do you believe the club is in the right hands, he said, Max does, and I absolutely do. And he sang the praises, especially of Richard Hughes, saying he's incredible, speaks five languages, he's so well respected in his part of the business. He has been offered other opportunities, yet he's still with us. So as far as Jeff Mostyn's concerned, Tom, we are in good hands going forward.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously going to say that. But yeah, and we don't know what happens, the ins and outs of the football club. Just kind of repeat what Jeff was saying there in the sense that we can only go off what we see happening and what we hear happening. And it just screams of panic, doesn't it? That you get relegated. You've got this, you know, legend at the helm who for some reason decided to leave or, you know, parted ways or whatever. And then, yeah, COVID probably played a part, but it seemed, oh, panic, give it to the assistant because, you know, the fans will accept that because he's a legend. So we'll just give it to him. And then even with other decisions like, Callum Wilson, right, okay, we'll let him go because that's a good bit of money. Should we look for a replacement? No, we'll be all right. Oh, no, Jason's not doing very well. I will give it to someone else. Oh, my God, look at all these names that have come in we could get. I don't know which one to pick. Just give it to Woodgate. He's already here. We can only go off what we're seeing and hearing. And you put all of that into context, that screams panic, doesn't it? We don't actually know. I can't tell you if Rich Hughes is good at his job or not. I can't because I don't know. But as a fan base, we just go off what we know and what we see. And all of what I've just listed there over the course of the season just screams panic and doesn't look like a thought in process. And very interested to see what happens going forward because how much have they learned from it? You know, if they go and get a manager that they've been looking at for a long time, and if it was to be, say, a Scott Parker, that's the one that's mainly linked at the moment, get him off another club in Fulham. So they're obviously happy to pay, you know, Fulham compensation, like things, because he's obviously a long term, and that would at least show some sort of ambition and a project and what they want to see going forward. I think Jason Tindall and Woodgate both screamed panic. And I think I just want to see an appointment because, listen, I'm not really going to be happy with any appointment unless it's Eddie Howe because I just want Eddie Howe. But I think that if it's an appointment that I feel has been looked at and they've really thought about it, I think that's enough. I think that's what we want to see. And if we are to sell players, do we replace them? Do we look like that? Is there a plan? I think that's just what you want to see. And the thing about giving Jason the job in the first place, I think you look at when we gave Eddie the job, the lower league teams at the bottom that haven't got a pot to piss in, they're the ones that give kind of the youth manager a chance or the assistant manager a chance because you think, well, I might as well. Not when you've got one of the best squads in the Championship and you need to go up the Premier League. I think that was the frustration amongst fans. But listen, the proof being the pudding, wasn't it? Let's see what happens.
It was interesting, Sam, what he said about transfers. Business as usual, it will be this summer. Now, what's that mean? Because we sold three players for 80 million last summer and didn't bring anybody in. So
is that the usual we should be expected to see over the next few weeks and months? We don't know. I mean, look, we need to give the board credit for coming out and actually speaking. Look, I mean, he said the reason we're having this conversation is because of Maxim. He also said nobody's more disappointed than Maxim for not making the Premier League, bouncing back at our first attempt. And look, fans criticise Jeff Mostyn. You know, obviously, we're all very, you know, there's a lot of gratitude that goes towards him for the amount of money that he's put in and for his time and effort and dedication. And we all know that story with Gerald Krasner and the way he helped to save the club. One of his criticisms is he always comes out when it's good news only. But let's be fair, we've not had a great season. Seventh best in the Premier, seventh best in our history or whatever. But even still, we haven't given the talent that we had. But Jeff, he's fronted up. He's fronted up and he has come out. And yes, he hasn't said what we want to hear. I mean, what do we actually even want to hear? What would have been the thing that we would have wanted to hear?
Well, we're in a funny time. As I said to Chris, you know, it feels like this is kind of a transition time where new manager, transfer coming and comings and goings, what the shape of the side's going to be, what the shape of the squad will be next season. We don't really know. And I think the big sense I got from that interview was really Jeff Mostyn, there's a recognition there that the club needs to connect with the fans better. Mm. Tom made that point, you know, about the new supporters group, which I think, you know, is really important. I want to see more of them fronting up, whether it's Jeff Mostyn coming out more, just saying, doing interviews like this when we've got harder news to actually talk about. And, you know, I'd love for him to come on to the podcast, someone from the club to come onto the podcast and talk with us. But that I think should be a good thing, that they're going to connect more with the fans. And we all feel a little bit more disconnected from our club because of what's gone on, COVID and everything. The season itself has been a tough one for us. And I don't feel that we've really connected with our club since before fans were kicked out, really, since before that Palace game. Mm.
He said there's never been a conscious decision not to engage. He did go on to say, you may not be hearing directly from us, but every single message from the club is the board speaking to you. We're engaging through the right channels. But he did say, I want to apologise to our supporters if you felt there was a disconnect. He said, we could do better. This supporters experience group, the first meeting of which, Tom, is on the 23rd of June. It's a relationship, he said a new relationship initially, but he didn't really mean new. He just wants to kind of rekindle that relationship again. What does this mean for organisations like Cherry's Trust? Because I thought that's what they were supposed to be doing. But, you know, from what I've seen, there are people been tweeting them on social media. I've heard nothing from them from the past 2 months. And, you know, they got a social media guru there that isn't putting anything out. So I've got no idea what's going on with them.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It does seem a bit odd. And then obviously, like you say, with this supporters group, is that why we haven't potentially heard from them? Because they're in some sort of discussions. I'm not sure. You know, it's what I've been saying about kind of the board and stuff. I don't know really what goes on at the Cherry's Trust. You know, I mean, I know a few of them, and obviously I was fortunate enough to go on with them and speak to Jason. So I know they've done, but I don't know exactly what their role is and what they do and the connection with the club. But to be fair to Jeff, he's obviously trying to get that connection back. And I think I follow a lot of kind of football fans on social media and stuff, not just Bournemouth. I think it's important to remember it's not just Bournemouth. I think a lot of clubs feel they want to hear more from their you know, the people at the club. I think that's happens a lot. It's not just at Bournemouth. And I think at least, you know, Jeff is trying to obviously get some sort of connection there. COVID, as we've mentioned, hasn't helped that. But I think it was important, like you mentioned earlier, that he's come out now rather than, you know, waiting and then say we get promoted, then he comes out because everyone will go, oh yeah, now you're better. So, you know, credit to him for that. But I think there's got to be a respect on both sides. So I think Jeff has got to appreciate that from a fan's point of view, you know, some of the decisions we all thought were a bit baffling at times, and, you know, and you didn't keep Eddie and then you done this, done that. So we need to hear more from you. We want to know what's going on. You know, we're the supporters of the football club, you know, and stuff like that. So I think that's fair. And I think it's also fair for us fans to realise that he can't, what is he supposed to say? He can't come out and go, he can't come out and go, right, we're just, the only thing we wanted to, what are we wanting to say? Right, Maxim said he's going to give me 500 million. We're going to get Ake back. You know, what's he supposed to say? We mentioned off air, didn't we? It's just like with the players, I feel for them sometimes. They've just lost the game. They get called over to have a pre-match chat. And they say, we'll try our best to bounce back on Tuesday night. And everyone goes, oh, why didn't you do it today? Well, what do you want him to say? He's not going to say, yeah, we're crap and we might be crap again Tuesday. Do you know what I mean? It's really difficult. And I think there's got to be a level of respect and, you know, just, you know, think about it realistically from both sides. And he has come out and the proof will be in the pudding, won't it? It'll all be in the actions now. You know, you speak, it'll be, as I've said before, it was the fact that, you can say what you want to say. We felt that some of the actions that were made, whether it be managerial transfers, et cetera, weren't the right ones. Well, let's wait and see what happens now because we're going into another massive season and let's see if we're really going for it again. We'll have to just wait and see.
I think he played it very safe with what he said, but I think he had to. You know, people can twist whatever they want, however they want on Twitter. So he was very carefully wording the things he said. I mean, last night I posted a tweet that make AFC Bournemouth look brilliant. It was a tweet from John Sharkey talking about the last five matches against the European champions, and AFC Bournemouth 1-3, drawn 1, lost 1. Barcelona 1-1, drawn 3, lost 1. There was AC Milan, Atletico, Man City, Real Madrid, you know, like, and those are stats and facts that you can interpret all these things very differently. And I think he was just maybe saying a few things very carefully so fans weren't able to twist it. But one of the sort of statements, with Maxim's incredible support, we will go forward. Yeah, okay, that's, you know, that sounds a positive thing. He talked about the old stuff. People need to understand that his support has been unwavering. He's invested over 160 million. He's never taken money out, and he never will. The board are at our best in the face of adversity. Also, there's no way that Max would ever leave this football club in a perilous state. That I can assure you. So as a Bournemouth fan that's, you know, used to, like, in the 90s, putting money in, you know, bots, you know, pots and, you know, buckets, that makes me feel a little bit better, Jeff.
It does. We all want the club to succeed, and we've all got an opinion. That's what being a fan is all about. I think we trust the board because we have to. We don't have, you know, we don't elect these people. They're there because they're running the business. It's a business after all, and they're the people. They obviously want to make sensible decisions, because I'm sure Max doesn't want to lose 160 million quid every year.
No.
And, you know, he wants success because he wants a return on that investment, as do all the other investors at the club. And that's also part of the trust thing that I think as fans, we don't often feel that way, because we just want to see the team win games on the pitch. They see it as money, and they've got to make money. I think what was interesting about what Jeff says is, you know, they put fans first as their top priority as well, which is really interesting. So the second, I think second, he said, was success on the pitch. Well, actually, most fans, we probably want success on the pitch probably first, right? You know, it's different. And that, I think, is PRing that connection again. However, what he did say as well, stats can be dangerous, because they won three games with fans in the stadium, seven goals, none against. So does that mean we're going to win every game next season when we got fans in at the Vitality? You know, it's not realistic, but fans do make a difference to us. They will make a difference being back. We've got the board we've got. They ain't going to change. It's interesting, I think, that he was singing Richard Hughes' praises after Hughes might have been going to Celtic. I think that says that Hughes is probably going to stick around for good or for ill. Like you say, we don't really know if he's any good. What I'd like to see from Richard Hughes are three close-season signings like Arno Danjuma, please. Can we have that?
Oh, yeah. Give over. Just imagine. Well,
if you know, he's done it once. Do that again, please. Let's have some more of that. That's recruitment. That's quality.
If a certain person chucks in some more money, then, you know, maybe that could happen. But whether it will happen or not, I don't know. And look, we're all eternally grateful to Maxim. But one of the, not criticisms of Maxim, but obviously it said that he's always been focused on maintaining our Premier League position. We didn't manage to do that. But the way they looked at it was invest in the players, because then we can slowly build a legacy from it. Now, the training ground is one of the things that hasn't happened. They've prepared the land as much as they possibly can have. If you walk over there at the moment, it's just wasteland, really. But Jeff Mostyn said it's not totally dependent on the Premier League, the training ground getting built, but it's certainly remaining on hold. He said relegation is a reason for it pausing. COVID is also a big reason, but he said Maxim has always made it clear that our vision is to build a successful competitive team. And then he sort of swung it around and not talked about the kind of the failure of the training ground project, but talked about how good our current facilities actually are instead. They're in line with Premier League clubs outside the top six, and Tom, apparently people are blown away with our facilities.
Yes, it is a strange one, because I'm sure, you know, we all know as supporters, if you went back to when Jeff Mostyn come into the club, I'm sure the training facilities are ridiculously better than they were at the time. Of course they are. So it must be hard, because if you compare to that, he's going to think the progression of the training ground is amazing. What's everyone moaning about? But I always say that sometimes if you can get our academy status and stuff higher, then we won't have to worry about the transfers as much, because we can bring for our own talent. I remember, you know, back in the day, we were always losing people to Southampton Academy and stuff because we just couldn't compete. Well, if our training facilities are that good, then, you know, we should be able to bring through more of our own talent then, shouldn't we? And we certainly didn't. We kept saying about this season, you know, we didn't really use any of them, did we? And it doesn't feel like, you know, because the status is not high enough to attract these kind of people. And, you know, you've only got to see that this morning, Ben White was introduced to the England squad, for example, and he was born in Poole. And he went to Brighton because they got better facilities. And this is going to keep happening with, you know, Brighton, Southampton and things like that. Unless we, you know, you need to upgrade because it changes the academy status and all these things, doesn't it? I don't know exactly how it all works. But, yeah, it is an interesting one. But it surprises me that they always talk about it in such a glowing way. And I think, well, why is there no one really coming through then? Because Southampton, for example, God, I hate to speak positively about them, but quite often I saw that in the season, they had so many academy players coming through and on the bench and things like that. And that's because of their, you know, training facilities and the academy status they've got. So that's something I think I'd almost rather that. Let's improve on that. And then you can kind of give more allowances to, if you don't go and splash loads of money everywhere, it's much more rewarding if you can bring players through. But that'll be interesting because, like I say, we sold players for a lot of money. Dan Juma will definitely be sold for a fair bit of cash. Mm. And let's see if we put that back into the playing side of things, because we didn't, did we? We signed a couple of loan players at the start of last season. So yeah, that will be interesting. And it'll be interesting if we can get a manager in, does he want to bring his own players in, or is he going to be desperate to keep hold of some of the ones we've got? Mm. It will be interesting. I almost kind of half hope that people like David Brooks have an unbelievable Euros, so then we can't lose because his value will go back up again. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, look, I thought that he sounded very confident and it sounded like there's going to be sort of no issues in the future. He sounded very assured. As I said, we will be coming back. He said, with a vengeance, I want to make this a year to remember. So who knows? It could be an interesting season. And Jeff, if a lot of the media speculation is to be believed, a certain someone that the club had designs on previously when Brentford played Fulham in the playoff final recently, like year before last or whenever it was, had Brentford got through, then Fulham would have been a Championship club and it sounds like we'd have been going for him. But then Fulham, he did get promoted with that narrow 1-0 win. Scott Parker became a Premier League manager and he wasn't a target that we could get hold of. Now, Fulham are a Championship club and he's the main man, apparently, Jeff.
Well, there were strong rumours as well when JT was moved on that it was Scott Parker we were trying to get in as a replacement back then, and Fulham won a couple of games and he stayed. He didn't get fired, which we thought he was going to be. So is it still Scott Parker? There's obviously a lot of admiration for him as a manager. He's relatively inexperienced, but he has got the experience of getting Fulham up, albeit through the playoffs, and then getting them relegated again. So, I mean, I've got to say, watching Fulham play this season, they've got several things in common with us. They do try to play the right type of football, but also they got the wrong end of some rubbish decisions and got some really bad luck in some of those games that they lost, which again was typical of our last season in the Premier League. So maybe he's a perfect fit. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know enough about him.
And look, some people are saying he plays exciting football, and other people, like, you look at Fulham fans and they say it was dreadful. But is that just a byproduct of getting relegated, Tom?
Yeah, maybe. You can never have played great football if you've gone down, in my opinion. But yeah, it is a weird one because he seemed to get so many before he was really probably linked with us, I guess, just when talking about when they got relegated. I've never seen someone get relegated and get so many plaudits. I thought, you've just got relegated. It was weird. And I watched Fulham a few times. I thought, yeah, they're okay. They're no better than we were a lot of the time. But they had quite a good squad there. Mitrovic is a good striker. They had Lookman in there. Loftus-Cheek played now and again. The goalkeeper was sensational. And I thought, they've got a decent squad. They could have stayed up. They finished in the end, God knows how many points behind Newcastle. We were awful for the majority of the season. So it's a weird one. I would look at it and, you know, if he got the job, I'd say, well, at least there's some planning, like I mentioned earlier, because you would like to, Scott Parker, if he's chosen to go to Bournemouth over Fulham, who have got, you know, just gone down, parachute payments, things like that. There's not really, you wouldn't have thought Bournemouth should be much more of a, you know, you might as well stay put kind of thing. So he's obviously bought into something if he comes to us. So that's a positive. And there's some, you know, a kind of a project kind of feel to it, which is nice, which I think we all want to see. And there's definitely been some thought into it. But in terms of Scott Parker as a manager, what I've seen, I'm neither here nor there, really. I don't think he's proven a lot. They scrape promotion with a team that should get promoted. We could have nearly done that. Meppen don't get sent off. We could have scraped promotion with Woodgate. And then he went down with Fulham. I thought they had a squad that probably were good enough to stay up. So, yeah, I'm not sure yet. I think you've still got to wait and see with Scott Parker what he's going to be like as a manager. But like I say, I would take it. It seems, what's a weird one is that we know what like kind of betting sites and that are like. You can bet on anything. You can bet on it snowing on Christmas Day in Blooming, you know, Corf Mullen. But you cannot bet on the next Bournemouth manager. And I don't understand that, which makes me think it's almost like already done, so they don't do it. Like they suspend it when things look almost done, don't they? So to me, that's either Parker's a done deal or it's just going to be someone internally again, because I can't. So there's no real other names, is there, apart from internal? The only thing I would have liked to have, I like what Sheffield United have done personally. They've gone down and they've just gone, Jukanović, you've been there, you got promoted, you're in.
We saw, we said that in the tier list, didn't we? Like he was one of the ones that we'd liked, David Wagner. But, you know, if it is going to be Scott Parker, surely that indicates that Max is having another spin at it, because why would he leave Fulham? They got a load of parachute payments. They've, you know, they got a rich owner. Why would he join Bournemouth? So he's obviously, you know, joining a project from where some promises have been, you know, given, you know, made to him about what he can spend. Because if we got no money to spend, would he come to Bournemouth?
I think that's the main thing as well. What I was going to say, Critic Jeff, is that if you, like I say, there's no way Scott Parker leaves Fulham, comes to Bournemouth, if he's being told, you're going to lose Dan Juma, you're going to lose Brooks, you're going to lose Solanke, you're going to lose Lerma, and you can't really spend much of that money. He'll go, why the hell am I coming to you? So that's whatever you think of Scott Parker, like I say, I don't think he's done anything spectacular yet. But there's something for him to move there. And that would be a positive in my book.
Does he have a relationship with Adam Smith from his Spurs days? Because Adam Smith's one of the players that were like, you know, are they going to stay or are they going to go? We're not too sure. But obviously, that was quite a while ago. What, 2010? Mm-hmm. That he was on loan with us was like, I can't remember when Scott Parker was at Spurs, but he might have some kind of relationships with a few players there. He certainly seems to have a close relationship with Richard Hughes. And of course, there's a certain Harry Arter that he knows very well that might have some good words to say about us, perhaps.
Perhaps. So it's all speculation. I really am not sure. What I think we really have to be careful about is Jeff Mostyn talked about transition season last season. Well, actually, I thought the season before was probably the big transition where we went down. Mm. The transition should have been last season going straight back up with that squad. It wasn't. What we've got to be careful about is this ain't another transition season, because what happens if, you know, we don't start brilliantly, it doesn't go brilliantly, we have a run of 5 defeats in January, which we, you know, specialise in, that sort of midwinter dip. Does Scott Parker then get kicked out and somebody else come in? Or are we committed to it for the long term? In which case, if we are able to keep players like Brooks, Solanke and Kelly, they ain't going to stay longer than one season, I think. This is it. This is the last chance for that sort of quality of player that could set us apart. And it's a real win or bust season, I think, this one.
It's a weird one as well, Sam. I'm just sorry. When you were saying about the potential link with Smithy there, which I can't, there might be something there because he was there as a kid, wasn't he, Smithy?
Yeah.
Then I was thinking, actually, he might know Woodgate quite well. Would they have like Tottenham? And then I'm thinking maybe even in and around England, similar time, you know, not too dissimilar in age. So would that work because then he'd keep Woodgate around maybe? And Woodgate would then be happy because he's got a good relationship with Parker and they might even work as a duo. I don't know, but there's a few things like that, isn't there? Carter Vickers, you know.
Yeah, true.
There's so many little things that I'm thinking, is there links there? I don't know.
What if it was Woodgate, though? What if they come out and say, like, it's Woodgate? I mean, for me, I don't know. I mean, and this is the same as, like, back a few months ago where we were talking about, like, nothing against the guy, but and we really hope he does well and we'll absolutely, you know, get behind him. He won those 7 games in a row, which was absolutely fantastic. And he seemed to bring a load of mentally jaded players together, smiling again, expressing themselves and playing half decent football and, you know, getting results. So absolutely nothing against him. But for us, it would be a little bit of an anticlimax, Tom.
Yeah, I think ideally, if you ask most fans, they would, because of the respect we've got towards Woodgate, I think we would quite like him to stick around to be involved.
Agreed.
And if that were the case, that would probably be down to a new manager or Woodgate himself, because he might have, you know, he come in as a coach, didn't he? He might have had a little, you know, flirt with a managerial again and go, you know what, I fancy it again. I'm going to drop down a league potentially and try and manage. That's, you know, credit to him if he wants to do that. But I think ideally most fans would say, myself included, I'd quite like him to stick around, because I think what he'd done well, I can imagine being quite a good motivator. I'd quite like him in there as in a coaching role. But, and again, he's likeable. I like Woodgate, but all the things that we heard from Jeff Mostyn with Chris saying about, you know, kind of, yeah, probably made a mistake with JT, you know, hindsight and all that stuff. And we want to bounce back. We're going to come back of a vengeance. You can't then employ Jonathan Woodgate, who is literally, you know, his managerial experience is not a signal of intent of trying to get back up to the Premier League. So, yeah, I'm more surprised. He can't come out and do that interview and then employ Woodgate, in my opinion. Now, that would not go down well. As much as, like, we keep reiterating, as you did there, Sam, it's nothing against Jonathan Woodgate. I think he's a top bloke. And I think he'd done kind of, yeah, I've said before, did he do that well, sixth to sixth, really? But he brought them together and they were certainly fighting for the shirt again, I always like to see. So I've got nothing but respect for Woodgate. But if we want to bounce straight back now and get back to the Premier League, we can't. We've got to show more intent than that.
Absolutely. So we've had our break from domestic football, international football, Euros around the corner. Jeff, you excited or not fussed? Or how are you feeling about it?
Can you see the wall chart behind me there?
Oh, he's got it up. He's got it up. Look at that.
Just waiting for the blue tech to stick that up. Yeah. Sort of strangely looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing how some of the ex-Cherries do, or current Cherries as well. You know, Brooks and Mepham. Be interesting to see how they do for Wales. I see they've got two of their games in Baku, Azerbaijan. I mean, gee, what a trip they... I think it'll be interesting, although anyone who's watched the last two England friendlies will probably be thinking, you know what, we ain't got a chance to play like that.
I don't know. And you know what, he may play for Southampton, but James Ward-Prowse should have been in there. He only had one moment that I saw yesterday that he delivered a wicked free kick in, and I just thought, you know what, why are we putting in another defender? But fair play to Ben White, fair play, you know, he doesn't not deserve to be in there, put it that way. And
I think Ben White's gone in there because of how bad Mings has looked. Because there's no way Maguire is going to be fit. And I think he's thought, oh, it's all right, I'll play Stones and Mings. And then Mings in the two friendlies has just been, as we know, absolute rubbish. So I think that's why he's brought in another centre-half, because I just don't think he trusts.
It's been exposed.
But yeah, I think it'll be, like Jeff said, it is. What I will say, I always do this, though, every tournament.
Go on, here we go, here we go.
I ain't going to believe again. I'm not putting myself through it. We'll never do it.
Don't do it.
I always think we always go into tournaments having like, the stats are like we've won every game in the last 2 years and then we're rubbish at a tournament. And teams like Germany and stuff draw with like Georgia or something and then they always turn up at a tournament. So you don't want to look too good going into a tournament. You know, let's turn up when it matters and it's coming home.
Tom, stop it. I don't usually care about, because I'm always club over country, but now I'm starting to believe now. Anyway,
get a few piss-ups anyway, don't we?
Yeah. Who's going to win it? Jeff, who's going to win it?
The Netherlands, I think, will win it.
Ooh. Two trophies for Ake will be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think the Dutch will win it.
I think it probably, I'd like to say England, but I think it'll probably be Portugal. They won the last Euros. And they literally were carried by Cristiano Ronaldo. They didn't have a good squad at all. He won in the Euros. And now I look at them and go, they've still got him. They've got Jota, Bernardo Silva, Bruno Fernandes, Cancelo, Ruben Diaz. They've got a hell of a squad. I'm going to go Portugal, I think. What do you think?
Do you know who I think is going to win it?
Who?
Everyone seems to know the score. It's coming. It's coming.
Leave.
I don't know. Let's believe it.
Oh.
Jeff, I put your singing to shame there, didn't I?
Yeah, wow. You did.
Sorry.
It's been a pleasure to have your company today, lads. And look, you know, credit to the club for coming out and doing what they've done. It sounds positive in terms of more supporter engagement going forward. And we're going to hopefully be able to help with that whilst we're not going to be directly involved. Hopefully we can provide ways of channeling what we gauge through the podcast, and also maybe we'll invite some feedback so we can pass it on to a person that can then present it as part of this group of 12, like the 12 disciples going to AFC Bournemouth and having their meeting with Blake Mostyn and co. So yeah, it's a positive thing that he came out, and we're all just now waiting the news of who's going to be the next manager. Jeff, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Stan. Good to see you, Tom.
And Tom, cheers, mate.
Yeah, cheers, boss. Nice to see you both as always. And like I say, now I just want to hear, I've heard from two Jeffs today. Now I just want Lerman to come out and say, I'm staying. Oh.
So if you're not a subscriber to our YouTube channel, we'd advise it, because we're going to be dropping a lot of content over the summer as we look forward to the new season, but also reflect on what we see in the Euros as well. We're not going to go all out talking about England because, well, we're fully aware that AFC Bournemouth's got an international fan base these days. But of course, we'll be keeping an eye on the transfer rumours. David Brooks, who's featuring for Wales, well, he might be one that is going out the door. You never know. Chris Meppham is featuring as well for Wales. And yeah, we'll be keeping an eye on what goes on. But obviously, yeah, when any news breaks, that's where it's going to be. So go to youtube.com/AFCB podcast. So from a personal note from myself, Sam Davis, I just want to say thank you. It's been a bit of a weird year, really. It's been interesting. This is unscripted. It's been hard sort of doing what we do, but we've really enjoyed doing it because we've seen the community that's developed from it. At first, of course, this was just a podcast, and then when it was relaunched with the help of Jeff Hayward, we sort of thought, you know what, should we do YouTube as well? And we did that because we find that podcast is quite an investment of time. I know that some of you are probably listening whilst doing the dishes in the bath or driving somewhere to work or whatever. But we found that there are some people that look at podcasts and they think, well, they don't really, it's very difficult to dip in and dip out of a podcast, whereas on YouTube you can. So we started up the YouTube channel a couple of seasons ago now, and it's grown from strength to strength, but especially over the last 12 or more months during lockdown, I think it's come into its own, because what we've seen is so many new fans, new faces, but Bournemouth fans for a long time that we just haven't known about and haven't heard the opinions from. And that's what I've really enjoyed doing. And as a result of doing what we do, there have been other YouTube channels of a similar nature that have spawned, and you know, that can only be a good thing if it's providing content and a chance for Cherries fans to get involved, then that's great. And look, it makes our club look less tin pot as well, doesn't it? Having a big online fan base, hey? So yeah, we've really enjoyed doing it. It's been a challenge, but to be fair, looking forward to sort of taking a break from it now a little bit. Myself going through a house move and all sorts of bits like that, and loads of work to get on with. So yeah, just gonna try to chill, see who AFC Bournemouth appoint, and then cheer on England in the Euros. Are we going to win it? No, probably not. But tell you what, we've got a good squad, and let's just see how we do against the finest sides in Europe. Right, thank you very much for listening. Really appreciated your time over the last hour or so. This has been Back of the Net, the AFC Bournemouth podcast.
Richie. Beyond Walker. Pugh. That'll do it! That will do it! Pugh for Bournemouth! The roof of the Gold Sands is raised! Everyone here knows what that could mean to this football club.
Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.